If the other person is going to ruin this relationship, I'm going to have to step over our pleading and over our tears. And we're going to have to beg him to come back for Christ's sake. Oh, we can't be too proud to beg. The Apostle Paul said, I plead, I beg, I entreat you. Hope I leave it as an old man. I would rather plead with you and command you. That's love. Is this what the ministry is about? It is. It is no church. I don't have anything. It's in America. Just Bible. It's no business plan. There's no tricks. No big seminar of all these tricks and all these books and all of this. You know, and just Bible. That's all we need in the power of the Holy Ghost. But let's keep going. It's Philippians 4, please. And if you have questions, then you can write it down. Verse number 3. And I urge you also, true companion, tell these women who labored with me in the gospel. So the women are involved too, they're not pastors. But the women who serve and help in every other area of church. In 3, it says, even so wives, is the actual translation, is even so women, that they serve like men. These are not in the pulpit teaching men, but they serve every other area. These women is who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In the book of life. How do I know that somebody's name is in the book of life? It's in the text. It's in the text. Preaching is walking the text. It's not interesting ideas. It's not interesting stories. It's opening the text. And the stories add light unto the text. Preaching is extracting from the text, right? Into our own life, and then into others. Is with our mouth and prayer. In the text, how do I know a person is in the book of life? First, as to what is in the book of life. What's the book of life? It's the Lamb book of life. It's the people that have been predestined from all eternity who have their names written in this book of life. This book of life is everybody that knows he said. And the Lord Jesus said, all the Father gave shall come to me. And here comes to me, I will address it. I can tell, I can do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, he said, that of everyone that he gave is I shall do nothing. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those that you have given. For all of them are yours, and all of yours are mine. These are special people that have been chosen by God. How do we know if we're in the book of life? Let's start there. How do we know if we're in the book of life? How can I know if I'm in the book of life? What's the first thing I need?
Thoughts and
motives.
I'm convinced that I've given my life to God. I know that my name is in the
book of life. But let me add into it. Faith. And I'm making this distinction for is important. It's because too many people, sir, trusting in a decision that they have made. If you're trusting in, I paid for, I shook the preacher's hand, I joined the church, I got baptized, I stopped sinning, I stopped sleeping with women, I stopped getting drunk, and they never trusted in the cross of Christ. Their trust in their own life change, a different one, instead of trusting in the one who makes us. Oh, you see the difference? The Apostle Paul says that according unto the law that he was cleansed, but he wasn't trusting in Christ. It was outward morality. I'm trusting the blood of Christ as a sinner. I'm not trusting I have changed. I'm trusting him who was risen from the dead, who saves sinners. I have to trust him as a sinner before I can trust him as a saint, right? I'm trusting him for the Lord. What's the second thing I need? A life that shows its truth. And everybody catch that. The second thing is a life truth. But you see the difference. If you're only trusting in the second thing, then you're not trusting in Jesus Christ. But if you're only trusting in Jesus Christ, and you don't have the second thing, then you're not trusting Jesus Christ. If I'm trusting in Christ as a forgiven sinner, I want to love these other people as a saint of God. And so how can we know if somebody else is in the book of God? The Apostle Paul said in verse number 3, these people are in the book of life. How did we know? Is it by some special revelation at the apostle? How do you know? It's the same to this. It's related to Christ. He knew what they believed. He taught them. Not by works of righteousness as a weaker. Not by righteousness as of the law. But the righteousness that's by the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God. A man is trusting God for his righteousness in the sight of God. Not his work. Right? If I'm trusting in what I do in the sight of God, what will happen then? I'll be too fearful. It's imperfect. If it has even one stain of sin, it's unacceptable, right? But when I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, I am accepted by him. And my labor will show. And so Paul is saying, I know what you believe. I've heard the testimony. I preached to you. And I said, see happen there. These folks are in the book of life. He told the church at Thessalonica, "Oh, we know, brethren, your election of God. It was your work of faith. It was your labor of love. It was your patience of hope. I saw it. I know that you have been chosen." Now, can we be fooled? Of course we can. Because Paul was fooled in Jesus. And all of the disciples were fooled in Jesus. Even when the Lord said, "It's the one I'm going to give this unto," he took it. They still didn't know that he's the church. He's the church treasurer. But they received people who know the gospel and who live by the gospel. If we call them the elect of God, our brothers. And we're in the book of life together. That's all that counts. That's it. And so how do I get into the book? I'm being a little bit tricky. The Almighty God is in the book. From before time began. How do I know I'm in the book? It's by faith. And how does everyone else know? It's not my good works. Excellent. Thank you. Let's keep going. This is Philippians 4, verse number 4. "And rejoice in the Lord when things are going well." And the bell is full, and your car is working, and the church is properly functioning. Is that what it says? Well, it says, "To rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. If you think I'm just up here talking, he says, I will repeat myself. I rejoice in the Lord. How do you rejoice in the Lord? Psalms and hymns, but if they have a purpose to point our eyes to Jesus Christ, he's not saying to rejoice in your circumstances. On the right hand, that's wonderful. No, sir. He's saying that even though I lose everything I have on earth, I still got him. And he's beautiful, and he's perfect. And he loved me, and he gave himself for me, and I have eternal inheritance in the heavens that can never be taken away. I'm kept secure by the power of God. He said, in essence, the gospel always has enough to make us happy. Right? And that's part of the reason that we preach it incessantly. Every sermon is the gospel. They're all pointing to Christ. This morning, with the online broadcast, in the book of James 1, the brother said, "If you're poor, then rejoice in your exaltation. All the things you have in Christ. If you don't have anything on earth, everybody's against you. Oh, you have so much in Christ, rejoice your soul. If you're rich, rejoice, and even though you're nothing, he's had mercy on you. Even though the flower is not his wife, if you're going in paradise by the grace of God. Who rejoice in the Lord means if everything is great. If the wife is pregnant, she has a baby, if the house is paid, if the church is full and we get many of you a nice love offer, I'm still rejoicing with
in the Lord.
Oh Father, forgive me. It's in your glory. I thank you. Because if I get to rejoice with this stuff, I got it. So no matter if the crib is empty or full, if the stomach is empty or full, if things are going well or they're going not well, our joy and rejoicing is always in the Lord. Here's my question. Can we do it? You are all that. I can do all things through. And if He commands me that I'm joy, it's a good commandment, sir. Because it forces us to look unto Christ always. This is the joy I can have every day of my life. This is the joy that I'm to walk in. And if it's gone because of sin, I'm to get back to God and say, I'm sorry, and wait until my joy is restored. And I'm knocking at His door until He restores my joy. It's because I must have it. It's a command. It's a command. And here we go, it's clear, my saints. All of the commands of God are for our happiness and joy. If we think it's only rules, and it's holding me back, and if I break this hedge, it's a serpent is going to bite me. But if I stay in the confines, by the power of the Spirit. Now, this is critical. How are you obeying God? Is it in your strength? Or is it in the joy of the Lord? The brother said it had to shift it. It must be. It must be. That's what you were talking about yesterday. After I learned the unprofitableness and the misery of Holy Spirit-less Christianity, it's only rules and human strength. And it's miserable bondage. And you only do it because you have to. It's true. It's bondage, slavery of the worst kind. Because me and you, we don't have the power to fight the devil. And we don't have the power to subdue our flesh. Outwardly, I can be a Christian, but not in the heart. Outwardly, I can preach the truth, but not the power. And when we learn to see the difference, if the Spirit comes, He's helping us, He's encouraging us, He has our eyes on Christ, our hope is in God, we feel His power, His peace, His joy, His presence, and we're able to live the Christian life in somebody else's strength. If we are obeying what God says, and the strength that He gives is the joy. He's a good God. He's our comfort. He's walking with us as a loving Father. And we're walking. And He and you are actually, as we are now walking with Him as His sons through His Son, Jesus. As to what is our acceptance with God? how hard we try. Is it how well we do it? So you have a perfect relationship with God the Father through Christ. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. And if we cannot function without Him, He'll help us. If we think I can handle this myself, He will help us fail. Isn't that right? That's true. And that's the difference in between peace, joy, and love, and the fruit of the Spirit, and the work of the flesh. It's the Holy Ghost. That's our lives in Christ. In all ways, at all times, please don't tell your people everything will be okay in this world. That is not true. Is the man preaching over next to the other church? He was saying at the end of his sermon that this won't hurt you because your problems are his. There will be pain in our heart and agony all of our days. And we don't know what will happen in tomorrow. Is the crop, it may prosper, is the bandit my kidnapped? Is I may be alive now, and is in the morning I'm in the bush. Right? What we tell our people is rejoice in the moment of moments. There's sufficient strength to bring God forward, no matter what. He'll be with you. His comfort is with you. Help. If I'm getting older, you see? How's the office? It's awful big as a black. Is that real, sir? That is real black. Is that the old one greater? Not you can be strong. But you know what? I'm more holy in conduct now. And my body is more weak now than ever in my life. It's not true if you're holy that you're going to be strong. No, sir. It's you'll be strong in here. Whatever happens in your body, that's God's business. If we see the doctor, if we exercise, we eat well, that's God's business. Oh, the holiest man on earth is the name of the church. What happened to him? If he lost everything he had in his mind. Like that. And he had to learn to praise God in his circumstances. Let us praise God in our circumstances by rejoicing in the Lord. And it will be some hard things within us just to put us in the pulpit with joy and make our people say, ah, God. If I know what the pastor is enduring, if I know who cursed me, if I know what happened with the salary, if I know what's going on with his children, and he's still preaching the gospel of joy, I can get to it. That's the gospel power. Oh, we're almost out of time. This is last morning. Let's read verse number 5 through 7 in Philippians 4. Let your gentleness be known to all men, of the Lord is at hand. All of us ought to be the most humble and the most gracious people in our churches. It was so privileged. Me, I should be the most gracious person in Nigeria. is become our home and a place to set a church. Let's be gracious. Let's be gentle. The Lord is at hand. First Peter 6:7. Be anxious for nothing. How? But in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving. And that's the key. Let your request be made known unto God. Plead to God with thanksgiving. Say, I thank you that no matter what happens, I have you. I have eternal life. Oh, count your blessings. One by one. And you'll always outnumber your miseries. And here's your promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all of you. Is more than we could imagine in our circumstances. It will guard your heart and minds by Christ Jesus. That's what it says. It will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. What is he saying in the text? Is it possible to have this peace? Is it iffy? Is it maybe? Is it absolute? Prayer is an absolute means to get what's promised. And what we need from God. The Almighty God has given us a way of peace, of joy, of power over sin, of love toward our brethren, of unity. Now, if we practice these things, what will happen to us? It's that we will have this peace of God that surpasses it surpasses trials. If they told me, sir, that I couldn't be happy in that city, I'm coming to California. It's nothing. And I haven't been kidnapped yet. But I'm telling you, I'm happier in Nigeria than I've ever been in California. Because happiness is on the inside. And it's the doing the will of God. And I know my circumstances are not as hard as yours, perhaps. But I know this much for a fact that you can have it too. Everybody who practices as to what he preached is going to have the same peace he had. And the key in prayer in hard times is what? Thanksgiving. Count your blessings in Jesus Christ. Think of all you have. The forgiveness of sins. I don't have to go to hell for that. I got peace with God. I got covenant blessings. I'm imputed with righteousness. I'm holy. I get to walk with God. I have Him. That's greater than anything in this world. He's a wonderful worker in the heart. He's the best thing in God. He's beautiful. But we have to follow Him to enjoy His power. And if we get our people follow God, just like that, they will have the peace that surpasses our understanding. And they will love for it. And the more that we point them unto Christ, is the more our own soul is well dissatisfied. As we know, their eyes are on Jesus and their heart is full. It's like the children, after you feed them, after they have toys, after they're happy and comfortable, you should sit like a dad and you're so happy. Is you help them. So, prayer with thanksgiving. Joy by force. It's commanded. I have to do it. I have to be obedient to your Lord, help me. You'll get it. And love to brothers in unity. I think if we have that status, this communion, it will hear the gospel power. It will have united churches, all with the same mind of the glory of Christ, that our life will be full. Full. There are other questions. If you listen well, met with Jesus in your teaching, and there was a warning mission. He said, "Beware of humanity. In my heart, the light portrays what I believe in me. Is it wrong? If my heart of vanity looks at what I believe in me, is it wrong?" Here it is, as to what I'm emphasizing. If we're trusting in our heart, I have to be trusted in the blood of Jesus. That's it. His our righteousness is in the heavens at the right hand of God. His our acceptance is in the God. And our faith is in His blood. If I'm trusting in that, like you look up there, it's a cross and crimson, that's a good picture. If we're looking at Jesus, who paid for our sins, I'm accepted and my works are accepted just like Him. But if I'm offering Him the best I've got, then I'm like Him. That's a good question, sir.
Probably this is not a question that's a follow-up. Now, is it proper to say, instead of trusting in my outward morality, I rather appreciate God's goodness with my effort, not looking at it as a thing I can offer, that because of what He had done, God has accepted me. So everything I do is just trying to appreciate God for what He had done. Probably that will help me not to be proud or to look up to that as a thing I can offer, rather a thing I am doing in appreciation for what He had done.
Yes. It's a life of thanksgiving. And our life is to bring glory to Christ. It's to put all eyes on Jesus. It's to have an upright character that is going to bring you to glory. Our life is to serve the service of somebody else. And it isn't done for acceptance. Is everybody, is that clear? The Apostle Paul's whole life is to magnify God. And it's my life of death. It's my serving others. It's my preaching the gospel. And His righteousness in the sight of God is not any of that. And that's what makes Him acceptable. He's trusting in Jesus. And if we serve, if it isn't for self, If it's for him and for other people, he just gives peace, joy, the power of sin, the communion with God, and he makes us useful. And we're as happy as we can possibly be. In preaching, I hope that as many of my friends